And at 30 minutes after the hour, let's check in on some top news stories. And it's the opening bell for Wall Street, and markets are going to be reacting immediately to what's gone on within the last hour. The Greek parliament passed that austerity measure it's been debating all morning that is expected to change the economy of Greece for years to come. Reaction on the streets of Athens this morning. You can hear it here. Joining us now is Niki Katsantonis from our partner, The New York Times, who's live in Athens. Niki, first of all, the reaction to the vote and the vote itself, what does it tell us?
Well, it was expected, we have to say, that the government would secure this vote. Obviously, the people in the streets are not so pleased about it. We expect to see reactions as well tomorrow, because this isn't the end of it by any stretch. There's a second vote on the implementation of the austerity measures in Parliament tomorrow. So the government's not home free yet, but it's certainly one step toward safety, certainly a progress in the right direction.
And is it fair to say that the ball is back now aside from this vote that you talked about, the second vote that is going to have to take place later this week, that the ball is back in the Euro court now, that it's up to France and Germany to figure out a way to make this bailout real?
Well, this is the feeling among many politicians and many analysts as well here in Greece, because there is a sense that the government is doing all it can to really sort of push through the measures to get the emergency funding that it needs. And obviously a new bailout is on the table. It's something that's being discussed between the foreign creditors and Greece. But that's really a next stage. I mean, at the moment, it's far from resolved. We need a second vote tomorrow to go through before Greece will get any emergency funding and be able to pay its financial commitments through summer.
And all of that financial discussion will have to be sort of analyzed and proceed with the smell of tear gas on the streets of Athens. That's Niki Katsantonis reporting for The New York Times, our partner in The New York Times, covering the vote on the austerity measure in Athens, actually within the hour. And markets are reacting this morning. We're going to explore the market reaction. It's a sort of a cautious reaction. The Dow is open. The S&P is up about 6 points this morning. The Nasdaq up about 4 and change. NYMEX crude is trading at about $93 a barrel, and the Dow Industrials are up 41 points. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Joining us now, Kelly Evans, the Ahead of the Tape columnist for The Wall Street Journal. And Kelly, as we've been reporting, just within the past half hour, the Greek parliament did pass that austerity package. This is going to open up further loans from the bailout loans from the IMF. The Greek problem solved, right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, it's solved. We're all in the clear and we can go home. not exactly. Unfortunately, it's far from over, if not as far as ever. And I think what you're seeing in markets this morning is already a classic case of sort of buy the rumor, sell the news. When it became clear over the past week that Greece was likely to go ahead and vote or have enough votes for these austerity measures, markets started to rebound. They thought, we're removing this element of uncertainty. Now that that's happened, it's not exactly triggering a massive relief rally, because I think people are just realizing, it's not that they voted it down, but we still have a long, long, long way to go.
And we're also hearing, as we've heard for several weeks, that a new loan from the IMF doesn't guarantee that Greece won't default on its debts. Why is that?
No, I mean, look, in 2010, remember, Greece already got a 110 billion euro bailout package last summer. And as we know, that was some help. It did nothing to sort of solve their problem. So now this year, what they're basically doing is pushing through these austerity measures to get another 100 billion in aid. And that will get them through the summer so they can pay their bills. But, these are all very, very short-term solutions. And the reality is that Greece is nowhere near being in a situation where it's either running a budget surplus or so it doesn't have to go to markets to borrow, or able to keep the country going based on sort of current macro conditions. So again, some of the austerity measures they've had to push through, even just to get the rest of the EU and officials to agree to the bailout package, have actually made their economic situation worse. Unemployment is higher, revenues have come down, and so the hope is that by making structural reforms, Greece will be able to raise its tax base and ultimately help raise some of the money, address some of the problems that they had been criticized for years for doing and in increasing their budget deficit. So that would hopefully make it so that they're not necessarily as reliant on markets to borrow, because as we know, the rates that they're borrowing on are pretty astronomical. Unfortunately, we're not really getting to the end point or really making any progress on that front. So I think, again, while these measures help and while they'll be able to pay their bills, we haven't really addressed any of the issues as to how Greece supposed to be in a sustainable long-term situation, or given they'll probably have to have some sort of a workout on their debt, you know, how that is spread between the Greek voters and the international financial system.
We're speaking with Kelly Evans, a head of the tape columnist for the Wall Street Journal, about the vote in the Greek parliament this morning in which they passed the austerity package that then unlocks new loans from the IMF. Kelly, one of the things that has brought Greece to its knees, economically any case, is the fact that although they spend a smaller proportion of their GDP than many other countries in Europe, as you were saying, many of the loans they took out were short-term loans, and every time they had to renegotiate them, they got them at a higher interest rate. Some of those interest rates are, as you say, astronomical. They're very, very high at this point. That's certainly not going to change. I can't imagine that Greece's credit rating is higher now than it was.
No, it's been lowered to all but junk status. And so what's interesting is last year we saw a similar move in markets. In fact, I have to say it was worse last year in terms of the distress to financial markets and some of the interbank lending spreads and that kind of thing. But once there was this agreement reached to help Greece make it through the next several months, things quieted down. Now, they flared up again this year, but after this vote or after this sort of round, they may settle down again. The problem, though, I think what investors are starting to get a sense of is that these really are short-term measures, and that for the European situation in general, this goes nowhere to sort of solving a lot of the structural, political, fundamental questions that are hanging over whether the Euro project can actually work. And to the degree that Europe's macroeconomic situation worsens, which if you look at data right now, it would just suggest that sort of the period of strong German-led growth is now transitioning back into something less, you know, it's finding a new, somewhat lower growth rate. The question is, if it slows even further, what that means for economies like Spain obviously being the big one in terms of having contagion effect on the financial system. So if Spain runs into a problem where its budget deficit starts to rise a little bit or it's having some trouble paying its bills, then suddenly that becomes the real, question for financial markets again. So it's nice to sort of see that maybe people are able to cross one worry off their list today, but I think the list is growing, not getting shorter.
Well, to that end, you know, we spoke, Kelly, with Dan Gross earlier, who writes about economics for Yahoo Finance, and he said, you know, we may want to just let Greece default. That would be disastrous for the investors, but it might be better in the end for Greece. He feels that at this point, what's going on in Greece is protecting investors and not the Greeks.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the concerns, and I think people just realize by allowing Greece to kick the can down the road, the hope is maybe in a couple of years' time it'll be in a better position to support its payments and support its debt going forward, and so the ultimate pain that it's caused to some of these investments is mitigated. But look, I mean, we're basically, as they say in bond markets, extending and pretending, i.e. trying to pretend as though this ultimately isn't a major problem or not going to happen in some form. And so the real question here is the Greek economy and sort of the way that they're able to make some of these structural reforms, that they can show progress. If they're bringing people into the tax base and miraculously growth is increasing, then, you know, things will start to look better. But I just don't really see those pieces in place. And so I do think, you know, there's a reason why in Greece they're taking to the streets. There's a sense of these measures being pressed down on them unfairly in order to sort of save the evil bankers of the world. And, you know, who knows, there may be an element of truth in that.
Kelly Evans writes the Ahead of the Tape column for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you.
We're talking about the austerity package that was passed by the Greek parliament this morning. That package has deep spending cuts in it, higher taxes. They do have to go and take another vote, possibly as early as tomorrow, on how that package will be implemented. But in the meantime, passing that package of cuts opens up a new line of loans, bailout loans from the IMF.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.